Conversations with Plants with Gloria Terry.
Gloria is a certified quantum touch practitioner and Reiki master who uses her healing to help clients, animals, and plants. Get ready for more stories of transformation. Welcome back, Gloria Terry.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to my show. I'm Gloria Terry, calling in from Labin, Croatia. I'm holidaying in Croatia for a few days, and then we'll go back to Berlin. So this is a recorded show. See, if you hear clicks, know that it is coming from the recording and editing. Yes. It's a beautiful place here in Labin, in Croatia. Croatia is always a beautiful place. I love the water. I'm not a good swimmer, so salt water is super for me. I like salt water. In Croatia, water is salt water. It's a beautiful place. It has a feel of a combination of Europe and the Mediterranean. It's beautiful. At least it's beautiful to be out of one place that we have been for over a year. And this is the first time I'm actually coming out of Berlin or out of Germany since the COVID-19 shutdown last year. And it's great to be here. The energy here is beautiful, very beautiful. We are actually not so far from the seaside. And we're covered, surrounded by sea and a little forest. It's a remote place. We are very quiet. It's not in the city. I really don't like a city life, too noisy, too loud for me. So these areas, like places like this, always good for me. Even in Berlin, we live in the outskirts of the city, and I love it because of the quietness, you know. And this is freer and more life to be in nature, to be in the midst of nature. So we are not far from the sea, and we have forest, and we're surrounded by huge mountains. It's a beautiful place. Labin, beautiful. So thank you for tuning in for today's show. I'm glad to be here at this time and space to talk about plants' consciousness and the teachings and wisdom they have for us. On today's show, we will be talking about the conversation I had with Yuka Elefantipis. I hope I called that last name properly. Yeah. Elefantipis or Elefantipis. But it's Yuka. Okay. And this Yuka we'll be talking to is not any kind of Yuka. You will see why I said it's not any type as we progress in the show. Once again, my show is about creating awareness on the consciousness of plants, and it runs every 2 weeks on Thursdays at noon Pacific Standard Time or 9 p.m. Central European Time on News for the Show for the Soul Radio. You can find me on the homepage of News for the Soul at www.newsforthesoul.com. When you get to the page or to the homepage or to the website, you scroll down and you'll find my name, Gloria Terry, Hygieia Healing. When you click on it, it will take you to my profile. Then click on the archive to see all the other previous shows. Briefly about myself again, I am a certified practitioner of energy healing, a channeler, and a telepathic communicator with plants. What this means is that I facilitate the healing of the body and the mind through the practice of quantum touch, which is healing in the quantum field, and the sacred practice of Reiki. Reiki is a natural or holistic Japanese healing method. Yeah, so both methods, quantum touch and Reiki, use life force energy to facilitate healing. Channeling, on the other hand, it's a form of translating messages from another consciousness. It is the form of communicating between physical and non-physical entities. Telepathically communicating with plants is something that happened to me when I was experimenting with quantum touch as one of the steps to becoming a practitioner. The idea was to run energy into a plant to recharge it. And the result of so many practitioners is reviving a weak plant back to health. My first attempt, the plant died a few days after running energy into it. That was my level one experiment. By the time I tried it again, was in my advanced level. And the result of that session is what has led to this show. So, in last show, we talked about the conversation I had with aloe vera plant regarding sound, vibration, and from that conversation we learned that plants have what we call planetary sound and universal sound, a kind of language they use to transmit messages or communicate with one another within a planet and in the galaxy and universe, which sounds are different depending on the planet and the age of the plant and also their environment. We also learned something about growing up in the plant world. Now let me use this time to explain the term monoculture, because I noticed I've used that this term monoculture twice. I mentioned it in the previous show, which is last show, and the show before. Monoculture in the plant world is the cultivation of a single plant in a given area. This word is not my word. I didn't know this word until the plant mentioned it, and I didn't look it up. I didn't. But now that I did, I have a better understanding of what they meant. If monoculture works for plants, which actually it doesn't, depending on what the intention of the farmers are, that is like it really doesn't in a large scale, it doesn't, because the earth, like we said, is dynamic. I mean, earth doesn't, yes, of course, there are forests where you find certain kinds of trees together, but not the whole forest, only one tree, only one kind of tree. So just as it is in the plant world, it's not the best thing. Is also not the best thing for humans. But I think the plants use that word because it's a human language for plants. But the main word I understand from all that we've been talking about is the word homogenization. I think this is what it is in human terms when it comes to humans. That would be branding humans to be alike. You know, although we are a collective in that we are human species, but we also have our unique differences, and the plants are saying that it has to be considered and must be taken seriously. Now you can see the conversation, how this whole thing started. You see the conversation with ZZ plant or ZZ plant to be clear on what I'm talking about. You know, when we talked, I kind of asked the plant about human technology, and they were saying this homogenization, which they called monoculture, I think it's monoculture in plant world, it doesn't work. It doesn't. We have tried it and we see how it is. See, humans, we are not machines, we are not robots. We cannot wear the same clothes, we cannot look alike, we cannot think the same thing. We cannot do the same thing and have the same kind of lifestyle everywhere. It's boring, you know? So they said it's not working. It's not. We are humans. We are dynamic. We are very unique. We have our unique differences. And those things, these differences should be taken into consideration as we advance in our technology. So that was it for last week, right? In today's show, we will talk about intimacy. Intimacy with elements, The conversation with Yucca, this plant, brought me to this topic, and it synchronized with the concluding part of last show when I was talking about how we humans have our different ways of perceiving our elements and how our interpretations may differ depending on our uniqueness. We will also learn in this show that some earthlings are here to support the planet by just being, for their being present, just being and holding space is their purpose. And I think this also applies to some humans. Okay, so when I went into this conversational session with this plant, I wanted to know how to maintain the plant because I had no idea, and I wanted to hear from the plant first before I Googled it. Well, I don't have the plant anymore. The plant has, I lost it. I lost the plant. Few weeks ago, I lost the plant. I did not do what the plant had asked me to, or I was not consistent in doing them. So I lost it. And that brings me to this topic, intimacy. Okay? All right. So, intimacy. Before I started telepathically communicating with plants, we will talk about the conversation, but let me introduce it. Before I started telepathically communicating with plants, I have been practicing quantum touch for a couple of months. Well, the thing with life force energy, because quantum touch is using, we use life force energy to facilitate healing. The thing with life force energy is that it is nothing more but love. It is just love energy. Life force energy is love energy. When we run energy into anything, we are actually sending love energy or love vibration into it. That's quantum touch. That also goes with an intention with the running of energy into anything, any object, any person or thing. It goes always with intention, which also is done with thought. It's either we say it or we're thinking, or we think it. You have to think it. You have to think it. Before you say a word, you think it. So before we say the word, we think it. And the thought is more intimate. It's more, it has more volume when you think about an intention than the words used, okay? So, and this thought is thought love. It's a love, it's a thought of love, okay? So the plants, in this case, have been perceiving this love thought and the life force energy in my aura, I think. This is me thinking. Perhaps that is why they were reacting to that. That is what they were reacting to, and that brought about my spiritual ability to communicate with them. This is what I'm thinking, because this whole thing started with quantum touch, which is the use of life force energy, which is love. Before then, I didn't know any of this, so I'm thinking perhaps practicing quantum touch triggered this ability in me. But first, there was an awareness that has to do with intimacy, which I might not have been conscious of at the time. So apart from a past life experience as a herbalist, I have a past life experience as an herbalist, I am also a human being. Humans have an innate intimacy with the element. We only are not consciously aware of it. When we start becoming aware of that connection that we have with the element, then that begins, especially that the fact that we are earthlings, we begin to consciously develop and expand on it. Okay? So I think this whole thing starts with a relationship with the self. This intimacy begins inside. Now, let me read, let me say something about about what Robert Shapiro said. So maybe you understand it better. In his book, Shamanic Secrets for Material Mastery, Robert Shapiro stated that you must remember that your physical bodies are made of Mother Earth's body. Now remember, in this show we have always said our body is a combination of all the elements. Okay, he said that if you can understand the components that make up your physical body, if you can experience it intimately through interacting with water, stone, which is the minerals in your body, wild animals and plants, all of these things, he said, will be interacting with the materials of which you are made. He also stated that you are of water and absolutely required the level of intimacy that you have with water. Since water passes through your physical body on the inside every day, he continued, this tells you that the portion of earth with which you have the most intimacy throughout your life is water. He said, and I quote, the fact that you are required to have this water and that it passes through you in the fashion and all around you tells you that intimacy is a foundational lesson of material mastery. This is where water catches our attention, yeah? And anywhere there's water, we like to be there. Even when we explore other planets, we see water. They saw water in Mars the other time and we got crazy. You know, anywhere there's water, that's where we like to be. Water passes through plants and other elements. That means our understanding of the elements depends on our intimacy with first water. He said, Shapiro, that because Mother Earth is also a teaching master, dimensional master, and quantum master, you are able to learn a little bit about those things as well. You are here, he said, to learn about self and material mastery. Material mastery is partially mental, but primarily it is physical and feeling and instinctual. We are basically a water world. We are basically in water world. In everything on earth is about water. Everything lives because of water. Everything is alive because there's water. And having 75% of our body water, that makes us water beings. Therefore, intimacy with the elementals starts with you and the water in you. How you relate with the water in you, yourself. So it's about self-love. So I think that all those times I was running energy inside in me, through me, through the practicing of quantum touch, it's just that love. Of course it is. Because since I came about quantum touch, since I discovered quantum touch, since it just happened so naturally, and since then I started changing. I started becoming more and more aware of myself. And by the time the plant started with this communication and this thing that is happening now, I think it triggered something in me. And I'm sharing this with you so you understand that it has to do with you first. If we understand ourselves, I think it will be easy for us to understand our environment and our planet, right? So, because of the experience of this plant that I have, I thought about this. The plant taught me about this, but I had to lose it first to understand what it meant when it made a statement. Now we will go into the discussion, and you will see what I'm talking about. Also, I'll be making comment in every step as we progress. All right. So I started by greeting, and the plant replied. And then I said, we haven't had a session since you arrived here in December last year or early January. That would be late last 2019 or early January last year, right? Now let me see the date. Let me see the date again. Let me see the date. Yes, yes. When we had this session, it was, we had a session on the 19th of March 2020. Okay, so that would be late, at the late end of 2019. And then the, or early January 2020. And the plant said, no, we haven't. Now, addressing the plant, I asked, where are you from? And Yunka said, we are earthlings. And I said, earthlings? How? Now, you see the date? It was that time when I was not so familiar with all of this, okay? And then I said, earthlings? How? And the plant said, our origin is earth. They brought you here? I asked. I was thinking of the experiment with other plants like peace lily and potted ficus tree who were brought in by other entities to earth, okay? And then the plant said, no, we were crossbreded, like crossbred from two different plants. Oh, I exclaimed, you are originated from earth by the mixing of two plants, like humans. Yes, answered Yuka, the plant, Yuka. That makes us earthlings, he said. Now, remember, in our last conversation, or in the conversation I had with potted ficus tree explaining how plants or species were mixed on earth to create different versions of them, remember that? Or I was remembering that during the session, I think. So when he said, yes, that makes us earthling, I said, oh, okay, so how long have you been here? Now, and he said, a long time. He said, a long time. Now, just hold on. I was addressing the plant, but there was a kind of, not confusion, kind of, there was something going on. See, this is why I have learned, even in channeling, when we question, when we ask questions, we have to be very, very specific about our question and who we are directing the questions to. Because they said that the human mind is so full of things that they don't know which one to hold on to. So when we ask our questions, we have to be very specific. So we get our answers because the way the question came or comes out is how the answer is going to be. So they will give us the answer to the questions we ask. So I noticed that when I was asking the plant, the entity in the plant was answering the question as if it was the one I was asking. But I wanted to know about the plant, the biological plant. And then so when I asked, so how long have you been here? The plant said a long time. And I asked, were you in the beginning? I was referring to the spirit of the plant. Now I was referring to the spirit of the plant. I wanted to know how long the being in the plant has been on earth. But the reply I got was that of the plant, as in the body of the plant. Okay, I wanted the being. How long has the being been on earth? That's why I asked if it was here in the beginning. And the plant said, no, we were made afterwards. Meaning the plant, the yucca, was made after earth was established. And then I asked, I said, where would you place the time? I wanted to know the time. And the plant said, at least we were here during the Atlantis. That's the plant, the yucca plant, was here during Atlantis. And then I said, not so recent. And the plant said, no, it was before that era, that is before Atlantis they've been here, okay? I see, I exclaimed. So you are part of the Earth product. What I meant was the part of the things earth produces. Yes, the plant replied. Do you have any particular reason for your existence? I asked. Then the plant said, asked me or the plant? Now we are getting somewhere. Now at the time, I was still not sure what is plant and what is the being. So even in my early experience, that was a challenge for me to know plant and being and have to be specific. Who am I asking? Am I asking plant? Am I asking the being of the being? Or am I asking the being of the plant? You know? So it was all this conversation I had earlier and how the plants were asking questions. When I asked questions, I started thinking that I have to really make this clear. So when the plant asked me or the plant, I said, the plant, since it is Earth's baby. Okay? Well, Junka went on, the plant is part of Earth, made by Earth and needed by Earth. She has a purpose for everything she produces. We are made to be part of her, an extension of her expression. Like children are the extension of their parents' expression. Yeah, we keep her alive, or she keeps us alive, and we are her expression of life. So you nourish her, I asked. She nourishes us, and we nourish her, Yunka said. We are part of her. She's part of us. We are attached. We came out from her. So, you are not in other planets but Earth? I asked and I said at the same time. It was a statement and it was a question. Because I was wondering, okay. And then the plant said, we are, but they do not look like us exactly. The Earth's atmosphere makes us look like this. And the atmosphere on the other planets where our species are look like they do because of the different components of their atmosphere. We were taken from Earth to the other planets. The planet that can sustain us, we survived. Not all planets are suitable for Earthlings. Okay, now let's pause. In other experiences, it has always been the other way around, right? We have always experienced them bringing other bringing plants and animals of different species to Earth, okay? In this experience with this plant, it is Earth that was taken to other planets. And like the case of Earth, what she's able to sustain environmentally is what survived here on Earth, right? The same is what happened when Earth is taken to other planets. The planet of the atmosphere or the environment of that planet determines what and how the plant will grow and that or what it will look like. Okay, and that determines what it will look like. Okay? This is exciting. Like, I didn't think about it like this, that they would actually take something from plant to another planet to, you know, I didn't think about it. But now that I think about it, I'm like, why not? I mean, we have crossbred a lot of plants and they are now expressing themselves in different ways. So why wouldn't they want to take something from here to other planet to see, you know? It's exciting though. I kind of like the idea. Now, okay, so I wanted to know what benefit this plant is to human. So I asked, like I wanted to know what is the benefit of this plant to humans. So I asked. Now remember, I said I wanted to know from the plant before I went to Google. Okay, so this is exactly from the plant. This has nothing to do with any research. This is from the plant. Okay. So I asked, I said, tell me, how are you beneficial to man? And the plant said, man is also an earthling, and we all exist here. So we are needed in a way. And then I said, in what way? Do you have a medicinal property? I guess at that time I was more focused on medicinal properties and functions than other ways that I am now exposed to. What I mean is this. At the time, I didn't really know that there are other uses of plants. Like I wasn't exposed enough to know that there are other things we can do with plants, you know. So I was only looking at the medicinal aspect of it, okay? What herbalists do. That was all the only thing I was looking at, okay? So I kept pushing, you know, for the plant to tell me if there is a medicinal benefit, you know. But there is something the plant said. Before we go on, let's clear this. The plant said, man is also an earthling. And we all exist here, so we are needed in a way. You see that? Now, this is where intimacy comes in, and I've elaborated on this in the introduction. I didn't really understand then until after I have gathered some experiences with other elements. Okay? We need to start that relationship with ourselves first. Before we can extend it to the plant and our environment, we cannot understand them if we do not understand ourselves first. We will not completely understand ourselves in one lifetime, perhaps, but we can be intimately aware of who we are to begin with. The rest of the understanding will come as you grow in your experiences. Now, when that plant said, man is also an earthling, and we all exist here, so we are needed in a way. Now, let's go on so you understand what the plant was saying. We are needed in a way, okay? And then when I said, in what way do you have a medicinal property? The plant said, no. We don't have medicinal property, nor can we be eaten for nourishment. We do not absorb man's emotion and do not transmit any energy, positive or negative. We support, like some plants do. Get that? Now let's pause. By the time I Googled it, it was a direct opposite of what the plant said that I saw in Google. The plant can be eaten. The plant the symbol. They have a symbolic thing about the plant that says it purifies the air and it transmutes things. That means it does energetic things, right? The plant can be used for so many things, okay? And here the plant says it doesn't. All right? Now, come with me. And then, at this time, I hadn't heard about this kind of thing. That there are plants who just support the planet. I thought that they always either have a medicinal property or they do energy exchange with humans, animals, or other plants. All that stuff. I didn't think that there are plants who just are present on Earth. You know? Like they are just Earth. They are just Earth. So I went on and I said, you support. In what way do you support, since you do not absorb nor transmute energies or emotions? And the plant said, we support like the Earth does. I was having a hard time understanding this because I was aware that the Earth does a lot of things. At least with my training as an energy healing practitioner, I have been taught that the earth does a lot of work energetically. Of course. And biologically, physically, we can see the earth is doing a lot of things, right? But that was me thinking. My mind was thinking it. The earth supports by absorbing and transmuting energies, negative energies, I said. And the plant said, we are part of earth. And then I said, I'm trying to understand how you support if you don't absorb energy nor do anything with them and with humans. You don't have any direct service to man, I said, and asked. And the plant said, we support in that we hold a space. We are present. Our presence is all that is needed. Now we went into silence. I had to absorb that. Okay? And then I said, your presence plays a role. Yes. The plant replied, whatever happens, good or bad, as you say it, we do not react, we just stay with it and support it by allowing it to happen. You don't observe and report anything, I said. I was again making reference to other plants like peace lily who transmute information back to their planet. Now you can see that in the archive, okay? And the plant said, report to who? We are Earth, he said. And then went into silence again. I was absorbing that. When I went into this session, I was not expecting anything in particular. I had my questions, but I was not expecting anything. In order for me to get the answer I asked about what benefit it has for man, I asked the question in a different way. I just wanted to know. I wanted to be sure. And then I asked, I said, okay, tell me, how could you be of service to man? I mean the plant. How could we make use of you then? I asked. I guess, it sounded like I was being upset, but I wasn't. I just wanted to know. And the plant said, we are not to serve any purpose like supporting building, nor to hold anything together like building furniture, nor making fire. We look strong and heavy, but we are fragile. We are not strong enough to hold a lot. We will dry out and shrink. Does this answer your question? The plant asked. Yes, I said. Of course it did, but I got confused. I left the subject alone because I thought I needed time to understand it. And I did. Over time, I got to understand that some of us, earthlings, whether plants, animals, or humans, are only here to hold space and to do nothing. Some of us are not here to work. We are not here to do all that thing that humans do, what I call human jungle, you know. Some of us are not here to do that. Some people are just here to hold space. Think of those gurus that just sit there for months. They just here to hold space. Some earthlings, be it man, animal, plant, rocks, water, some of them are just there to hold space, to make earth, earth. Some of us are just here to earth, earth. If you know what I mean. Yeah? Some of us are just here to do that. And I've got to understand that with time. All right. So I have been watching you, I said, for some time. And I doubt if you are healthy because I see you drying out. But I'm careful not to overwater you. How should I maintain you? I asked. Okay, you know how to take care of Christmas cactus, it asked. I have learned, I said, laughing. That is the same way I ought to be maintained. Try not to make watering intervals too long. That is okay for the ZZ plant, which is a Z plant, but not for me. Like the Christmas cactus, not too dry a soil and not too moist, just wet, moist enough. As to the other nutrients, we like the fruit and vegetable mix you do monthly. Yes, I do that. I mix vegetable and fruit and blend it together and then I sieve it and take and water the plants with it. I used to put it with everything with the chaff in the soil, but I didn't like that, so I just used the water. Okay, I said, thank you. So what do I look out for when you are sick or out of balance, I asked. And the plant said, The pot I am in needs holes under it so water can live. If water does not go out, I will begin to rot from root. Water ought to live from underneath. I will start to dry out, and you will see this on my leaves if I am not well. Light, I need plenty of it. Keep me close to the window. I need plenty of sunlight. Okay, now let's pause here. Now, if you Google this plant, Yunca, let's go back, let me see the name again. If you Google this plant, Yunca elephantis, you will see that a lot of things I've said here about the plant is not what it is. Like I said, there is a direct opposite to what it said. Now, I started thinking a lot about that. Why did the plant say that? Why did the plant say it is not edible? It cannot do all those things. Why? And then, thank God for channeling. We, as a group of us, me and some few group of people who like me to channel plant consciousness for them, now channel plant. And through the channeling, I kind of understood what this meant. See, this session was heard in March 2020. I have not brought it out because I did not understand it myself. But now that I understood it, I thought, okay, now we can talk about it. Because now I, Gloria, understands it now. So we can talk about it. Okay? I didn't bring all of this out because then I was like, oh, okay, now I do. Now, why did the plant, although I've lost the plant, so I couldn't continue with the conversation, right? I couldn't go back and ask the plant. But why did the plant say all that? Now, through that channel, I get to understand. Not all plants are meant to be eaten. Of course, we know that naturally, physically, biologically, we know that. Not some plants are toxic. We can't eat them, right? They are not meant to be for nutrients. Our stomach will not hold them. Right? Okay, good. But what about those genetically modified plants? We are talking about what you call that? Something GO. Yeah. You know what I mean? Those artificially grown plants. Those plants that use so much toxin, they use so much chemicals and toxin to grow them. What about those plants? Should we eat them? So I'm thinking, maybe this plant was one of those plants. It looks like the one we know, but it's not. Because I lost the plant, by the way. I couldn't continue with it. I was not consistent with the water. In this water, it's not dry, but the plant is not growing. It was so much work with the plant. I just couldn't. And I was wondering, what is happening? Okay, fine. The plant told me how I could, I maintained it up to some weeks ago, okay? And when I saw that I couldn't maintain that, all those natural things I was giving to it was, you know. So I was like, maybe this plant is one of those ones that were genetically modified or genetically made. They were not natural substance, but they used those chemicals to make them. That is why the plant said, it is not meant to be eaten. And yucca is one plant that you can eat. I think except for the root, you can eat the flower, you can eat the stem. They eat them in South America. But this one said, no, do not eat me, it said. And he said, It cannot transmit energy. It's just there. So from that channeling, I got to understand that some of these plants that we use chemicals to grow, especially these flowers we buy, they use chemicals to grow them in large numbers for consumption. Excuse me, for consumers, right? They shouldn't be consumed. They have their place, and their place is to beautify the environment. They have their place. Of course, entities will embody them. They are plant bodies. They are containers. They are vehicle to be embodied by entities. And of course, a lot of entities want to experience Earth life. So if we do this from our intelligence, okay, and entities embody these plants, we shouldn't eat them. That's what it means. We should not eat them. Our food is the ones that are crossbred biologically. Our food are the ones that are earth, real earth food. But these ones that are artificially grown should not be eaten. And we have seen that. Eating bad food, what I call, I don't like to use the word bad food because they are still also earthlings. But they are. We shouldn't be eating those things. They are not natural to our biological human bodies. There's too much toxin chemicals in them. So why this plant was so specific and saying it's only here to hold space? Probably because this was one of those plants that were artificially grown. So this was me thinking, perhaps, from that channeling, I get to understand that not all of these are meant to be eaten. Some of them are there. They are these vessels of other species or beings that accommodate, but we should not consume them. I hope you understand what I mean. Okay. So then I asked, because this was in March when the COVID-19 madness started. I call it madness because of the way people handled it in the beginning. So after the plant said that it needed sunlight, I said, okay. Now, when I had this session, like I said, the COVID-19 shutdown had just begun, and I could feel the overwhelming emotions of people around me. Stores were emptying out, particularly the toilet paper section. Let's not talk much about that, because that was an embarrassment to human intelligence. It felt like the beginning of a war. Although I'd never been in a war situation before, never ever, at least not in this lifetime, but I wondered how I knew the feeling of war. In Nigeria, during the time they have any crisis anywhere that I've been, in Jos, in Bauchi, anytime there's crisis in those places, I'm not always there. It happens always like that. If there is a riot in Jos, I'll be in Bauchi. By the time I leave Bauchi and go to Jos, the riot starts in Bauchi, I'll be in Jos. So I've never been in the presence of any of these things, any of these situations. I've never really been. I think life has been, the universe has been protecting me, I think. So I count myself lucky and I appreciate it. I really do. Now, so there was fear, you know. So how I came to know about the feeling of war, I don't know. Maybe it's a past experience somewhere in my past life. But that feeling came. It was very strong. There was fear everywhere around me. I felt it and it saddened me deeply. People were scared, you know. So I asked the plant about it. It was the only time I personally asked about this COVID thing, personally. After that answer was given, I didn't feel like asking any other plant about the situation, because I felt I kind of have an understanding of the situation and didn't need any advice, but to believe in myself and not what people were projecting on me. So I asked, I said, with what is happening in the world today, what can you advise? And then the plant said, first of all, the earth is calm about it. It is not the first nor the second. Earth knows this and can handle it. You stay safe as much as you can. That is the best you can do. If you are safe, he is safe, she is safe, you all are safe. It will help not only to reduce the spread of the virus, but to lower the cost of expenses or the cost of existence for those who are already affected. It will be worse if a lot of people have it at the same time. So staying safe is more helpful. It is the best you can do. It is the volunteer you can offer. Stay safe and be calm. Calm, it said. Thank you, dear one. And then the session ended. Okay. In conclusion, we have learned about some earth, we have learned that some earthlings are here to just be. They are here to hold space, and their presence is needed to balance the earth by holding, you know, space. We have also learned about intimacy. I might be talking about this intimacy in other conversations because I feel it is something we have to look into, because this is our planet and we have to have a relationship with it. But this relationship starts with the self. How much do you love yourself? Do you love yourself? Do you know what loving yourself is? Okay, let's take the love yourself out. Maybe some of it is too much for you. What about awareness? Are you aware of yourself? Are you aware of how your body speaks to you? Are you aware of how you function? Okay, if awareness is too much for you, let's talk about discovery. What are the things about yourself you have discovered so far? How are you living your life? Are you living the same life you lived some 10 years ago and still the same now? What is something new about yourself you discover? Yourself, you, the one inside, the shadow one, the one nobody sees. What about that one? Do you know who that one is? I'm thinking, because I haven't, from my experience, I don't know how else to prove this. But the moment I started quantum touch, the moment I started this whole thing with energy, running energy in and out of my body, loving myself, you know, I have knee pain, I put my hands there on my knee, and I send in love energy into my knee, and knee stops after a day, it stops. I hit my toe, and I put my finger there, and, you know, running energy in my body every morning, every evening, sometimes none. Sometimes just evening, but at least every night. I am aware of myself. I'm aware of the chattering of my mind. And sometimes I tell it to shut up. Let me listen to the birds. I'm aware of my environment. I hear the birds. I hear water. I hear sound. It's not that I started doing this consciously, but because of this running of life force energy in me, spinning my chakra all the time, kind of understand. Humans need to do this. You have to be aware of this. Aware of your bodies. The moment you start paying attention to the inside of you, it will begin to activate other parts of you that you are yet to discover. Or you will discover. But it's good that you discover them before you finally check out, because it's fun. That is entertaining. The movie of your life is more interesting than any other movie you watch in Hollywood. Your life is a story. Visit your childhood. Have a conversation with yourself from day to day. And this is what this plant has shown me. It said some of us are here to just be. To just hold present. Why are you here? Do you have a purpose? What is your purpose? Thank you for tuning in for today's show. For next show, we'll be talking about the conversation with, I haven't done that yet, but maybe an orchid plant. Apart from News for the Soul Radio, you can also find me on my website at www.gloriaterry.com. If you have questions, kindly send me an email via my website. My email address is there. Remember, energy follows thought, and your love has an impact. This is Gloria Terry, and I wish you love, happiness, and good health. Do have a pleasant time. Take care of yourself. Stay safe. And good night from Croatia. Love, light.